At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Dispensing cannabis business knowledge beyond a million square feet of cultivation space, CannabisRadio.com proudly presents Blunt Business, harvested by Strainwise Consulting. Together, we will navigate the challenges and opportunities of one of the most profitable industries on earth. Join us each episode to hear our weekly roundtables and interviews with industry professionals. Now, let's delve into some Blunt Business with your host.
Thanks for joining us here on Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com. We're so thankful to have you with us. My next guest is founder and CEO of Solaris Farms, who say they have the largest and most advanced cannabis greenhouse operations ever. Stressing ever. Here with the founder and CEO of Solaris Farms, Michael Sassano, here on Blunt Business. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So you started Solaris Farms in 2016, and when you started it, you looked to create a state-of-the-art desert greenhouse facility that would set new standards for efficient operation and perhaps even revolutionize the way cannabis is grown in arid climates, which this is really the focus of what we're going to be talking about today, is trying to grow in such rough environments. You're trying to grow, even in this way, for greenhouse, trying to work off what you have from the land and what you have from the environment. What drove you to work on this area of greenhouse cultivation?
When we started Solaris Farms and conceived of Solaris Farms over 4 years ago, actually, the concept of growing in a greenhouse for our industry was novel. The concept of growing in the desert was not a practiced growing environment at the time. So the combination of coming up with a greenhouse, and this is a hybrid greenhouse, that could combat the environment of the desert, which is extreme heat, 115 degrees plus Fahrenheit, and it also gets to freezing. So you have to actually be able to adjust to both of those environmental concerns. But on the plus side, you would have tons of sun. That's something we have plenty of. The fact that we have very low humidity, this is an extreme plus, because as the world, rotates towards labs, testing and more rigorous testing, the more arid your environment is, the less contamination. And one of the biggest problems that the cannabis plant has are molds and aspergilluses, which are harmful to the lungs. And since this is a smokable product, you'd like to be in an environment, generally that can combat those pestilence. And being in the desert, you would imagine it would have a much lower count in the air of mold and spores. Ultimately, we decided, one of the best places where we could actually practice the art of growing cannabis happened to be in the desert. And if you've seen the last episode of Narcos, it would almost seem common sense that marijuana historically was grown in the desert. But 4 years ago, it was not common sense that this would be the place where some of the most advanced greenhouses now exist in the cannabis.
Ask yourself, what kind of agriculture could you do at all, even with a greenhouse effect? Just obviously the solar energy you can bring and inject into a greenhouse would be there. But obviously the humidity also comes into play. But again, it's the water you have to go in, the irrigation methods you have to come through to go and really make that work out, because of what kind of expense you want to try to avoid taking the good from the bad in whichever climate you decide to do. It's got to be really tough. Now, Solaris provides state-of-the-art cultivation facilities, greenhouse design services, operations management services, brand campus hosting, incubation and consulting services, and investment opportunities for the cannabis industry. So full service. You're looking to expand into Canada and it's a very saturated market, obviously, but there's a lot you bring to the game. How is that coming along, and what are your hopes upon entering the Canadian market?
Well, the Canadian market entrance is more of a branding experience, as is a state-to-state model of branding. So that's a little bit different than the we generally believe that in the future, there will be no state borders and there will be no country borders. And we're more looking forward to branching out to Europe and then continuing our branding throughout the United States, Canada, and the European Union.
With that said, would the reason about entering the Canadian market for yourselves as well, would you also be looking to try to experiment the same cultivation methods in arid, which is like a tundra-like surface anyway, in Canada, which would be another different variation on the environment? But again, the humidity, I guess, wouldn't be a matter. I don't know how much water would be coming in through certain areas, which depending on which part of Canada you're in. And the cold weather, obviously you know about that at night in an arid desert climate, but what would it be the difference in a northern, more colder climate? Would that also play into the fact of why you want to be able to have something prepared so that you can do cultivation in Europe, which obviously has a lot of that type of territory?
Well, we definitely believe Europe is, you know, with a population of 700 million people, you know, is the place to be. And we definitely have a strong belief in the pharmaceutical market, whereas you're distributing the product at pharmacies in Europe. So the actual cultivation method, we for sure are, we've targeted our property in Southern Europe, Greece, and in Southern Greece, where there is a more dry environment. And, you know, there's plentiful amount of water in that area also. You need both. You need a good environment and a ton of water. As for Canada, though, it's more, like I said, it's more of a branding experience than necessarily a place where we want to cultivate and turn our model upside down. Our genetics are acclimated, you know, to a desert environment, and we're getting, you know, our results that we have were well over 25 and even showing 30-31% THC levels with cannabinoidal counts of 35% plus, and terpenes well over the dominant terpenes, over 8 milligrams to 10 milligrams for the most dominant, and 5 milligrams for the number two dominant, number three dominant. So, you know, we want to keep those genetics rolling into environments that we can control and that we're that are used to where we're growing currently.
Now, I'd imagine with this kind of work, it also helps from a very earth-friendly, very climate-controlled environment type scenario, where if you are looking to find different scenarios where you can take the most out of what you have in that climate and be able to go and work off of it. So obviously, any kind of solar paneling, things like that, I would imagine, works for the actual getting good, proper, good sunlight into the plants and injecting it into either LED lights or whatever you decide to use. And then within the desert, if there might be some kind of aquifers or some kind of well water, things like that that can be taken from the ground of possible reservoirs that can be brought in, possibly recycling water for use once again. Is there anything that's being considered from an environmental standpoint that's part of the reason you're doing what you're doing?
I mean, our whole industry should be environmentally concerned, as probably every industry should be, but more so in the cannabis industry, you know, trying to limit the use of resources, recycling, this is a must. I mean, you're trying to bring down your cost of production. Right. It's only natural you would use the natural sunlight, which is the most powerful light in the world, let's say. And you, of course, you have to have supplemental lighting. There is no choice in that because, you know, the flower needs a certain cycle for its hormones. So the use of, if you're in an arid environment, you can use more of technology that's not AC cooling. You can use more of evaporative cooling techniques, which is a tremendous also savings in use of resources, because you're ultimately just recycling the water and allowing the natural evaporative cooling to take place and add humidity to your plant if you're in a dry and arid environment. You know, all of which, you know, decreases your energy consumption, creates a much better plant, and, you know, in the end, helps your profitability.
So, Mike, we're going to need to step out to a commercial. When we come back, I want to ask you about cultivation techniques and to get a little more in-depth into what you're doing in terms of creating this greenhouse production within a desert environment. We're going to talk more about that here. I'm with Michael Sassano, the founder and CEO of Solaris Farms here on Blunt Business. We'll be back after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
My guests say Razzie Berry. We're talking about nature, naturopathic medicine, as well as the concept of prevention and preventing disease.
Empower people to live a naturopathic lifestyle. Get to know your body, understand its rhythms, remove toxins, and use natural alternatives whenever possible. 90 to 95% of cancers are due to environment and lifestyle risk factors. I mean, that's a huge number. That means that cancer is preventable.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know? Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Candid. Captivating. Compelling. Welcome to Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina.
Welcome to Cannabis Conf. Oh, you got me again. All right.
I got you again.
You got me again. Welcome to Cannabis Confidential. Ah!
Hey, we did it.
We did it. Welcome. I have the coolest guest today. You guys already know. The one and only Tommy Chong.
CannabisRadio.com proudly presents Cannabis Confidential.
I hope you didn't forget about us, because we're back with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm here with Michael Sassano, founder and CEO of Solaris Farms here on Blunt Business. So, Michael, you were recently interviewed by the Cannabis Business Times, and you were asked what cultivation techniques are you most interested in right now, and what are you actively studying? You said, quote, "We've been phenotyping to raise the most powerful genetics. We're working on acclimating the chosen plants to the desert environment with every generation. And we have come to a point where I'm studying how to preserve those genetics for future generations." But what you're telling me also is that you're taking from genetics of past generations as well, without having to go necessarily into which plants it might be. But how are you determining which plants you want to grow? And what have you learned from past experiences to know which plants are best to grow?
It was very much a learning experience because nobody had really grown in the desert environment. You had ultimately a lot of genetics that have come from California, or genetics that come from the East Coast, the New York area, that were popular there. Or you had Asian genetics that came, or Netherlands genetics. You know, but and none of those areas are desert environments. So we actually had to create our own genetics, and then get those to acclimate to the environment in order to get bigger yields and bigger flower sets. So, you know, as one example, you know, we created a strain called Fire Chem. And this is a indica dominant a cannabis plant. And this is an OG Kush somewhere around circa 2008 mm-hmm. That was crossed with Chem Dog. And which is a pretty standard, famous genetic out of Colorado. And then the parents of that were then crossed with Fire OG in order to create this strain. And we found that while crossing these and the testing, it took over a year just to cross many different plants, turn them quickly, try to see if they were the right yields. And now we're yielding well into the high 20s and even up to 30-31% THC with large cannabinoid counts and great terpene profiles.
That's fantastic. The one thing I can see about that is by going back and looking at some of those strains that are very popular. And even today, that's one thing you want is if you can take strains that are just, they're well received and people, they don't get tired of it. Then if you can grow that and you can grow it at a great amount in this type of environment, that is the win-win situation you're looking for. Now, let me read from an article in Cannabis Tech. Now, obviously, desert cultivation of cannabis provides some unique challenges, and that's what you're working on. Intense heat and lack of moisture are less than ideal for prodigious agricultural production. But this story mentions that you and the crew at Solaris Farms are making it work, and also that future expansion seems all but inevitable. So you were featured in the article to discuss how outdoor cannabis cultivation is out of the question in a desert environment, but arid conditions can be highly conducive to greenhouse production. So what are some of the things that you can definitely see that have become advantages to what the desert provides you in terms of climate and environment that might be better than what some other greenhouses might get?
Well, for sure, you have a bountiful amount of sun and you have a humid environment, which lends to an evaporative style cooling, all of which, are beneficial, if you can control the environment right. And, you're trying to stray away from the model, when cannabis first initial started, let's say legally in America as an indoor environment where you have heavy usages for lights and AC, tremendous strain on natural resources, to moving to a more economic model that can take advantage and control the environment. For a desert, there is no other choice than a hybrid greenhouse. You can grow under a mesh tent. You can't just grow outdoor. The sun is too brutal. The winds are high, in a desert. You can, with some sort of protection, grow them. And the farther you go up along the ladder of technology, the higher your genetic and your yields will perform.
Fantastic. So again, interesting subject here, talking about greenhouse production for a desert environment. We're going to talk more here with Michael Sassano, with founder and CEO of Solaris Farms here on Blunt Business. We'll be back with final questions with Michael in just a moment.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
The National Cannabis Industry Association's third annual California Cannabis Business Conference takes place October 8th and 9th in Long Beach, California. Register today at CaliforniaCannabisBusinessConference.com and take part in the only industry trade show focusing solely on the California market, hosted by the cannabis industry's only national trade association. NCIA's California Cannabis Business Conference brings together thousands of cannabis industry leaders, policymakers, and entrepreneurs to discuss California-specific regulations, market trends, policy, advocacy, and research. The California Cannabis Business Conference will also feature over 60,000 square feet of expo floor, showcasing over 200 exhibitors. Make your plans now for NCIA's third annual California Cannabis Business Conference, October 8th and 9th in Long Beach, California. Register today at CaliforniaCannabisBusinessConference.com. That's CaliforniaCannabisBusinessConference.com.
It's time to Hemp Presents.
I am going to titillate your audio orifices with weekly radio rendezvous with some of the premier movers, shakers, and history makers of the cannabis community.
Radio resident Hempo Sapien Vivian McPeak.
I will be putting out a call to action on issues of the day and putting your interests under the big lights as I provide cannabis commentary and weekly interviews that go straight for the nugular.
Marijuana! Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Sweet
sativa. Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
I hope you didn't forget about us because we're back with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
We're back with Michael Sassano, founder and CEO of Solaris Farms, here on Blunt Business. Now, we were talking about cultivation for a desert environment, and you said it is the heat rather than the light that causes problems for greenhouse growers in desert environments. That's according to the article from Cannabis Tech that we referenced just before the break. Now, temperatures in the Nevada desert, and I remember going to Las Vegas last year, and it was 108 degrees every day with quite a bit of humidity, really that hot air that blows across. You feel like you're in a heater as you try to walk across the streets of Las Vegas at night on a July evening. And then during the day, it's just nearly unbearable. You can only be out there for so long before you have to just go back inside in the nice air conditioning and carpeting and the cushions of the casinos. So now, the Nevada desert may exceed the 110-degree mark during the summer. The combination of direct sunlight and extreme heat exposures makes it a challenge to maintain appropriate indoor temperatures. But now you have something to address this issue called a wet pad cooling system. You're taking other steps to control the heat exposure as well. Talk to me about this wet pad cooling system and what you're doing to try to control the climate inside the greenhouse.
You're absolutely right. If you've ever been in Las Vegas in July, August, and even September, you know, the heat is unbearable. You're at 110 degrees plus on a regular basis. And the one thing you will notice in comparison to, let's say, Southern Florida, is that rather than a very wet, muggy, you know, feeling, you're going to feel a very dry, aerated feeling. So, you know, as an example, as you're walking through the day, you may feel even some sort of cooling effect when you're walking, you know, as you first come into the contact with the heat. Well, what that is perspiration on your skin evaporating and causing a cooling effect on your outer membranes there. It's the same exact strategy with water creates evaporative, it creates humidity by evaporating into the air. And that humidity has a cooling effect on the environment of the plant. And when you have a humidity level that's 8% or lower, well, you need to add humidity into the greenhouse or hybrid greenhouse, whatever you may have, and in order to get that plant to a level where it's liking how much humidity is in the air. So it's actually a benefit because we have less consumption of energy. We're able to use the natural cooling of water in order to create cooling inside of our greenhouse and humidity for our plants in a controlled environment of contaminants where we can control, you know, the contaminants coming into our facility from the entrance level and create a more powerful genetic from it.
And I'll tell you what was really weird when I went to Las Vegas last year for vacation was that I got to see a rare thunderstorm and a good downpour in the middle of the, late in the nighttime, which felt like I was in Florida for about a half second, and then the heat came right back, and oh, it's desert again. Okay. Well, Michael, I really do appreciate you taking time to join us here and talking about Solaris Farms here on the network. And real quickly, I want to have you just take a minute to talk to our listeners about Solaris Farms. Again, that's S-O-L-A-R-I-S Farms. Give us a website and give us ways where we can learn more about your expansion and more details about this greenhouse cultivation method that you are perfecting.
Well, you can go to www.solarisfarms.org. And if you're ever in the Las Vegas area, we have a touring. We have tours consistently with the people of all industries. There's quite a steady flow. We have a viewing booth inside of our operations area so that you can look through into the plant area without going inside to disturb the plants or the contaminants, bringing in any contaminants. So please come on by and just set up an appointment through our website. We have people that are constantly replying.
Fantastic. So another reason for you not just go ahead and lose a little bit in Vegas on the slot machines or the craps tables, but make sure to go and stop by and visit the folks at Solaris Farms. And obviously Nevada is a real hotbed for cannabis right now and for hemp. I want to make mention of that. Well, I know there's been a lot of good that's been done in terms of compliance when it comes to cultivation and the kind of output that's coming out from a lot of the different companies we featured here on the Blunt Business Program. So I'm really happy to go and have the folks like you over at Solaris to go and talk to us on the program and tell us about this really interesting subject, because I'm sure there are those that, even if they want to just go and grow their own, there's some things they could take away here about, you know, not being deterred or feeling discouraged from trying to find the best way to, you know, cultivate within a greenhouse, regardless of climate. And I'm sure there's more people that are doing the same thing. Obviously, I can imagine in Israel or in the Middle East or in just certain areas, that desert climate, or in Africa, there's certain desert climates that could really benefit from what you're doing here and the research and development and the kind of work you're doing here at Solaris. So again, Michael, thanks so much for being here with us on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us. Really do appreciate it. You can download past episodes of Blunt Business by going to CannabisRadio.com. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. Make sure to rate and review us. Give us 5 stars. We really do appreciate it. We've earned it. You know what you do because you listen to us every week. Also, look for us on Google Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Thank you for listening. The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.